At his urging, the Royal Society agreed to engage a reliable figure to tour the British Isles to see if such a mountain could be found. Maskelyne knew just such a person, the astronomer and surveyor Charles Mason. Maskelyne and Mason had become friends 11 years earlier, while engaged in a project to measure an astronomical event of great importance, the passage of the planet Venus across the face of the sun. The tireless Edmund Halley had suggested years before that if you measured one of these passages from selected points on the Earth, you could use the principles of triangulation to work out the distance to the sun, and from that calibrate the distances to all the other bodies in the solar system. Unfortunately, transits of Venus, as they are known, are an irregular occurrence. They come in pairs, 8 years apart, but then are absent for a century or more, and there were none in Halley's lifetime. The next transit will be on June the 8th, 2004, with a second in 2012. There were none in the 20th century. But the idea simmered, and when the next transit came due in 1761, nearly 2 decades after Halley's death, the scientific world was ready. Indeed, more ready than it had been for an astronomical event before. With the instinct for ordeal that characterized the age, scientists set off for more than 100 locations around the globe, to Siberia, China, South Africa, Indonesia, and the woods of Wisconsin, among many others. France dispatched 32 observers, Britain 18 more, and still others set out from Sweden, Russia, Italy, Germany, Ireland, and elsewhere. It was history's first cooperative international scientific venture, and almost everywhere it ran into problems. Many observers were waylaid by war, sickness, or shipwreck. Others made their destinations but opened their crates to find equipment broken or warped by tropical heat. Once again, the French seemed fated to provide the most memorably unlucky participants. Jean Chappe spent months travelling to Siberia by coach, boat, and sleigh, nursing his delicate instruments over every perilous bump, only to find the last vital stretch blocked by swollen rivers, the result of unusually heavy spring rains, which the locals were swift to blame on him after they saw him pointing strange instruments at the sky. Chappe managed to escape with his life, but with no useful measurements. Unluckier still was Guillaume Le Gentil, whose experiences are wonderfully summarized by Timothy Ferris in Coming of Age in the Milky Way. Le Gentil set off from France a year ahead of time to observe the transit from India, but various setbacks left him still at sea on the day of the transit, just about the worst place to be since steady measurements were impossible on a pitching ship. Undaunted, Le Gentil continued on to India to await the next transit in 1769. With 8 years to prepare, he erected a first-rate viewing station, tested and retested his instruments, and had everything in a state of perfect readiness. On the morning of the second transit, June the 4th, 1769, he awoke to a fine day, but just as Venus began its pass, a cloud slid in front of the sun, and remained there for almost exactly the duration of the transit, 3 hours, 14 minutes, and 7 seconds. Stoically, Le Gentil packed up his instruments and set off for the nearest port, but en route he contracted dysentery and was laid up for nearly a year. Still weakened, he finally made it onto a ship. It was nearly wrecked in a hurricane off the African coast. When at last he reached home, 11.5 years after setting off and having achieved nothing, he discovered that his relatives had had him declared dead in his absence and had enthusiastically plundered his estate.